folks out there listening to us, we are professionals.
Yes, but we're ready. We're ready. We're ready.
We are ready. And it's Friday.
Whew. It is Friday. So that's exciting.
Which really doesn't matter to people in podcast land because they could be picking this up on any particular day of the week. But for us, it's Friday.
Yeah.
And you know what happens on Fridays?
Podcast day.
Well, actually, no.
What?
No. What happens on Fridays in school?
Friday's the end of the week?
Yes.
Yeah.
What do sometimes teachers do to surprise their students on Fridays?
What? What is this? Not one single teacher has ever surprised me with a Friday.
Okay. Come on, what do we always do in politics and government? Was it politics and government? Wait.
Oh, okay. It's video day.
Well, no, it's quiz day. Pop quiz day.
Okay, I was trying to think of all the slacker things that our teachers did. Much of them weren't really any slackers, really, you know.
Well, we would always have those U.S. news quizzes.
All right, I'm ready.
Okay. And I'm sure you've pondered this, well, maybe not this specific scenario, but you've heard these types of scenarios before, okay? If you are given Superman's powers.
Yes.
What is the first thing that you do?
Fly.
Just take a leisurely fly around?
Boy, I don't think you expected that answer so quickly, but yes, I would definitely walk outside and start flying as soon as I could.
Just go.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think X-ray vision would be horrifying, right?
Okay.
In the new Superman universe, X-ray vision used to be really cool because he could be very precise. Hey, I'm looking at your lungs. You don't have cancer, right?
Right.
The new Superman sees, the horror of it all, right?
I
can see your skeleton, your blood vessels, everything moving, and right?
Right.
It's more scientific now. In the olden days, it was sort of like that back of the comic book where the guy was looking through that lens. Hey, yes. See a skeletal hand, right?
Right. So here's a follow-up question. Bigger picture. After you flew around for a while.
Sure.
And was like, okay, that's cool. I can fly. That was fun. I enjoyed that. It was a nice leisurely fly. Took a look at different things. Then what?
Well, let's see here. I was thinking about this the other night because I'm always looking for ways to make money, right? Like,
okay.
How can I make some dollars at being a stay-at-home dad? And I realized that being a superhero, you don't make any money. It's not like Superman could come in and say, hey, I just saved the Sears Tower. I put it back in its place. It was falling over. I fixed it, right? And Superman, here's $1 million.
Right. Well, he could say, and here's my bill.
Yeah, he could, but if he did, then he would be...
I'm going to invoice you.
In fact,
I'm going to invoice you.
Here's the funny thing about superheroes. I'm sure there are, but don't get me wrong, but I've never seen, me personally, a comic book in which there was one page that's dedicated to that time we paid Spider-Man. Right?
Right.
Where Spider-Man puts his hand out and says, all right, I'll take $100. Right? Now, what's interesting is, like, a lot of these video game fantasy adventures, there's always a deal that's struck before the monster is taken down, right? I'll do this for 200 gold. But a superhero never does that. They just fly in and save the day. So, here is, what would I do as Superman? Well, I don't know, right? I guess I could just start becoming a crime fighter.
Right?
Okay. I could fly. I've got super strength. I've got heat vision. I got super breath that's super cold. I can have X-ray vision. I get infrared vision, telescopic, microscopic, you name it, right? Superman's got all the powers.
So would you do anything – okay, crime fighting, sure. But would you do any, like, humanitarian stuff? Would you try to – mediate conflict between countries? Would you bring food to starving children and in faraway places? Or would you just sort of say, you know what, I'm also just going to hang here and romance Lois at the Daily Planet and...
Well, I can see the segue coming.
Not getting involved.
I can see the segue coming. I can.
You can see it coming.
But let me give you this, because I put a lot of thinking into this. You know, what if I ever had the superpowers, and what superpowers would I want is another question. If I had Superman's abilities, Superman's biggest vulnerability outside of kryptonite, which has always been in my opinion, always a weak plot link. But his biggest vulnerability is everybody that he loves. Similar to Spider-Man, right? Similar to a lot of these heroes, is that
right.
They're invulnerable, they could be attacked, but my daughters and my wife are completely vulnerable,
right?
And they can be attacked, and I think to myself, I don't think I'd really... Okay, I wouldn't... The problem is I wouldn't say no to the powers, but I think my next move would be to try to disguise myself or make it so that you wouldn't know. Obviously, Superman has super speed. In fact, in Smallville... They dealt with this because they're like, hey, we can't have him be Superman right away. He can only be Clark Kent. And for like 2 seasons, he was known as the Blur. That way he could keep his secret identity by just being as fast as the Flash.
Okay.
Right? So all that to say is it'd be a huge conflict for me because I don't know if I would want people to know who I was. And
so
the minute I showed...
He kept his power hidden.
And if I know... And the minute I show that I had the power, like... Let's say I'm having a problem with my neighbors. If I give them a super punch, they'll know that I can do super punches, and they're going to tell everybody and their brother, that guy in that house, he does super punches, right? And
sure.
Suddenly I'm vulnerable to everybody in the internet.
Okay.
So I'm like, I think I would try to keep it a secret.
So you want to tell people about the Segway?
Of course.
Can you tell where's the Segway going? You know where the Segway is going.
I know the Segway.
That's right, because you have superpower. I gave you superpowers now. You have the power to anticipate Segways.
Yes, I do.
All right, so this week.
Oh, and I have night hearing.
Night hearing?
Yes, I can hear at night.
Is that a parenting thing?
I can hear when someone's crying in the night.
Yes.
Night hearing.
And you can distinguish. Who's crying?
Yeah, that's right.
I'm sure you've done this because you're
That's
with
actually
a group...
quote from The Office. Just say it's not an original quote, but it's
okay,
a quote from
right.
The Office.
You're,
we're like,
good,
what's your
good.
Superpowers? I have night hearing.
You have night hearing. Well, I'm sure you've done this, and parents out there will understand this, is that when you get to a point where you can let your children be a little bit unsupervised, like, you know, maybe you'll get together with some friends and the kids are in one room, and the adults are in another room trying to be adults. And then you hear a cry from the other room. And you all look at each other. And then one parent goes, that's my kid.
Right.
Like you can detect your child's cry. And you can detect whether it's a cry of pain or frustration with one of the other children. And whether or not you have to. And then there's always the determination of, do I actually have to get up and go in there, or do I just sort of let nature work it out?
Oh, you can't tell by the same kind of cry? Like, you can tell when there's a desperation cry, a panic cry.
Oh, I can't. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm
saying.
A
fear cry.
Right. You can decide that. And then you always have to decide whether or not there's a level of crying that requires you to actually address the crying.
Well, yeah. Okay. Yes, definitely. I could go down that rabbit hole, but I will not for the sake of the segue.
For the sake of time. That's right. So this week, we... decided to talk about Black Panther.
Yes!
Latest Marvel extravaganza movie.
Yeah.
And we've done a couple of YouTube people in recent weeks, and we will get back to them soon. But we thought, well, Marvel's out, and it's big, and it's doing well.
And we've both seen it. That's the other thing. It's always nice when you and I both have seen the thing that we're trying to review.
We've actually gotten to a movie theater.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is rare for me.
Yes.
So, do you want to start with Marvel or with Black Panther?
So, the basis of the Black Panther. So, the Black Panther is from Wakanda. Here is what's awful is that do you know the name, like his identity name, the Black Panther? I want to say the Black Panther is King of Wakanda, but what's his actual fictional name?
Like his secret identity name or like his name in Wakanda?
His name in Wakanda. His secret, you know, it's weird. He doesn't really have a secret identity. He's both Black Panther and King of Wakanda.
Okay.
And I'm feeling very shameful that I don't know his name right now.
I don't know his name.
Oh.
I'm not deep enough into the comic book lore. Does he have one?
Yes. Yeah, he has a normal name. Look it up while I'm talking. Just look it up while I'm talking, because I'm feeling a little bit shameful about it, because if I say Iron Man, I immediately say Tony Stark. If I say Thor, I say Thor.
It's like Madonna.
Like Madonna. If I say Madonna, I say Madonna. But I want to make sure that Black Panther gets the proper props, that we're just not going
Well,
out there.
Keep going while I ask our producer to look
so
this up.
So I like our segue, because the segue actually is sort of, and a spoiler alert, is kind of the entire premise of this movie.
Yeah, Wakanda, spoiler alert.
Go ahead.
Spoiler.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler, spoiler.
Yeah, spoiler.
If you haven't seen it and you really want to preserve it, stop listening.
His hero
bookmark this podcast, and then come back.
His hero name was Spoiler. Also, his identity was Spoiler. Spoiler, spoiler.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm trying to think here. So, right. So there's Wakanda. Wakanda happens to be a secret city that was established, I want to say, what, 5 millennia ago, right?
Long time ago. Yes.
And it was established because there was a meteor rock that was came from space that landed on the Earth. And then it crash landed there, and then this meteor called vibranium seeps into the ground and is in this particular part of Africa, right? And so these groups of tribes are fighting over this region, and they suddenly realize, or one of them realizes, hey, there's a special flower that grows here. And that flower, if I drink it, will give me abilities, right?
Right.
And so once he finds these abilities, like this ancient legendary guy, he becomes the Black Panther and unites the 5 tribes. So that's the premise of the origins of Wakanda. And actually, that's how the movie starts. And just a side note, a lot of people are a lot of fan theory around where the, I think the 6th Infinity Stone is inside that vibranium. That the vibranium is a product of the Soul Stone.
Okay.
That's just a side note. No one really knows for sure, but they're kind of putting a little bit of credence, because if you watch the Infinity War trailer, you could see they're attacking Wakanda. Okay, back to Wakanda. So the Wakandans have a leader that rises out of the 5 different tribes, and once basically that leader, there's a selection process that occurs, and once that individual rises to the occasion, he then is given the ability to go drink a special flower,
right?
That gives him vibranium powers, right? Like, what I didn't understand when watching Civil War is that I thought the Black Panther suit was him. Like, that's, you wear the suit, you've got the power.
Right.
But the truth is, if you drink the vibranium and wear the suit, it's sort of like how they've depicted Spider-Man right now. Spider-Man innately is got all his spider powers, but Tony Stark has given him an iron suit on top of that.
Right.
That's exactly like Black Panther. He's got all the superhero powers, which would also explain why in Civil War he could actually take on Bucky Barnes. Right. He takes on the Winter Soldier when he goes nuts without his armor. Thought he's going to get his butt handed to him, and it doesn't happen, because now we learned that he actually drinks vibranium, right, and you get it. So,
By the way, his name is T'Challa.
T'Challa. Thank you very much.
And I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. It's T'Challa.
That sounds right. So that's okay. So here's Wakanda. The Wakandans decide that they're going to keep the vibranium a secret, and they're going to keep pretty much that whole region of the planet a secret, and they're just going to advance along, like as if we were to find some advanced technology 500 years from the future, and we were able to replicate it, and then we tell nobody about it, right? Like, I've got the ability to do flying cars, I've got, you know, I could do internet like you wouldn't believe, we can actually transport to Mars, you name it, but I'm not going to tell anybody that we have it. And that's exactly what's happened with Wakanda. So they've kept it a secret. Except with the exception of like T'Challa or the Black Panther is out in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Like, he's out in the world fighting crime, right?
Bits and pieces.
Right. We also know that Captain America's shield came from Wakanda, and people have been trying to get into Wakanda to get at the vibranium. That's the premise there.
And the premise of keeping it secret is that Part of it, and they kind of discuss this a little bit, is part of it is just sort of a sense of cultural separation. We're going to keep us, and let those people be those people.
Right.
But there is also a sense of, hey, you can't just let all this stuff out because people are going to do bad stuff with it. They can't handle it. And so we're going to keep it because we figured out how to handle the power in a responsible way.
Sure. Well, and there's one other point of view, which is if we choose to expose ourselves, we will just dominate the world. Right? That's another point of view in the movie, which
right.
is there's a group of them like, hey, if you want to go and subdue the earth, I'm with you. Right? Like, instead
right.
of, like, them coming in and taking our technology, we actually have the ability to just take over the planet.
Right.
So there's actually kind of three different points of view that you could have on it. So that's the premise. That's the moral dilemma, right? Does Wakanda expose itself for the betterment, or does Wakanda basically expose itself to take over the planet? Or does it expose itself just because that, or does it keep it, or does it not? Like, do we just keep it secret, keep it safe, don't tell anybody we're here, because who needs to deal with the world's problems?
Right.
And the latter is what actually they've done up until this movie. Wakanda has remained a secret for a long, long, long time.
Right.
To the point where there's a scene at the end of the movie, like, what could Wakanda do for us?
Right.
And, you know, the smirking Americans, like, you know, the guy that had been exposed to Wakandan culture goes, little do you know, right? It's a great turn, right, for the movie.
So that is where we get to the moral dilemma. Because, and we won't get too deep into analyzing the plot, but basically in the movie, there's a cousin that emerges whose father was disgraced, didn't sort of follow the Wakandan way. The cousin grows up sort of, you know, mad at the world and mad at his home country. He comes back, wants to challenge the king, and he wants to do what you talked about and basically say, hey, we've got this power. Let's just use it and we'll just run everything. And that's always one of those, you know, those moral dilemmas you talk about in, like, I teach an ethics class and we talk about that and we say, okay, how do you deal with, you know, the bad guys of the world? The people that, you know, would have nefarious intent towards your society. Do you try to become friends with them and work things out and find a happy medium? Or do you say, you know what, some people are just bad. We're just going to have to go in and exterminate all the bad people and then have all the good people just remain and hang out together. And that's a very idealized, just sort of utopian view of things, because inevitably that's going to erode.
Sure. Right. And actually, it's funny. It's right. Yeah. I agree. So what did you think of the film, Todd, as a movie? As we get into the parenting mistakes mode here, you know, we've kind of described the plot, and then we've actually described the whole entire thing with the exception of what the outcome is. There are two choices here. Is, you know, and basically there's one, the enemy wants to dominate the world and the hero wants to keep it a secret, but the turning point is that they're both right. And they decide for that third alternative, which is let's expose ourselves to the world and share what we have to help it.
Right. And that's where we go back to sort of the original scenario of if you have the ability to help other people, do you? And what's the best way to do that? So as a movie, I enjoyed it. It's a fun movie. It is kind of a fairly standard Marvel movie.
Yeah, it's played pretty safe.
Yeah, and I've talked to a number of people that have seen it. I get the impression that some folks have not seen a lot of Marvel movies. This is maybe their first Marvel movie. You know, there's a lot of hype around it, and they go and they see it. And it's got the standard formula of, hey, here's one of the Marvel superheroes. Let's tell you the backstory. Let's talk about conflict. Let's talk about whether or not the person is going to embrace their power, what are they going to do with it? It's got very much a Uncle Ben with great power comes great responsibility theme
mm-hmm.
to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great
origin story. There's a lot that makes sense.
There's a complicated, it's complicated and yet it's fairly simple. it's almost a biblical story of siblings who do not get along, siblings who have certain powers and decisions to make, and when they don't see eye to eye, it can create divides within families, and that's the origin of a number of, you know, modern ideologies, is families that don't get along and ultimately go different directions. It has your standard Marvel chase scenes and fight scenes, which are visually pleasing, kind of your standard Marvel stuff. And it's got the, I would say now, almost expected cutesy, snarky Marvel humor.
Yeah.
Where they it's a little, almost a little slapstick now.
Yes. Well, they've been down that road, and yeah, I mean, obviously Thor goes way out there and does all that, but
right, a lot of,
actually, I don't know if you've ever read any of the Marvel comics, but anytime he went into space with the Marvel comics, it got nuts, like just crazy things, because they're like, well, it's not grounded, right? So a lot of what you see in Thor is a lot of what you would see in Marvel comics that are outside of the Earth. But I would say a lot of the humor is incorporated, of course, but that's been the Marvel standard. Like, if you look at Iron Man, a lot of that humor is in there, too.
Yeah, a lot of one-liners. A lot of just sort of cutesy, you know, look at me, I'm a funny guy, one-liners.
So I walked out of the theater, and I looked at my wife, and I said, I think I want to sit down and watch it again, because I think there's a lot to chew on.
Yeah.
And then I watched a review about a week ago in which those group of guys were like, I really felt the action was really lacking. Like, it wasn't just exciting, right? In fact, there wasn't a moment, unlike Iron Man, when Iron Man puts on his suit or does the first kind of Iron Man things he does, there were people in the theater going, whoa, where can I buy that suit? They believed it. They were sold on it. It was super cool. There are not a whole lot of action sequences in the original Iron Man. I would say that a lot of the action in this, it started kind of going along with the car chase scene. And I was like, eh, it's just falling flat. It was hard to see it. Like I said, it just wasn't great action. In fact, I can always tell you when it's not great action, when I was watching the scene in which they're fighting on the train bridge or whatever you want to call that. They're on the tracks.
Right.
And the train comes in and separates them. Throughout this entire movie, they've been showing you these trains. And they go by in blurs. Like,
right.
1, 2, 3, gone. 1, 2, 3, gone. This train happens to sit there, and it goes on for, like, I could say a minute. Like, this is the longest train in Wakanda. Nah, and it took me out of the scene, because I'm like, the action's not that exciting. And the reason I'm paying attention to the timing of this train is because I'm not that intrigued. I'm more or less like, wow, this is the longest train they have in Wakanda for dramatic or story purposes, right?
Right.
So I was like, eh. But when I think back on the movie, I go, oh, and then at the very end, when they kind of like come to his decision about who he wants to be in the world, I tear up a little bit, because I'm like, there is, like, our talk at the beginning is great. Like, it is very much lined up with that, the Spider-Man movies, the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies. So, like, with great power comes great responsibility. And in this case, there is a choice that's made that really is great. And it is a very responsible choice. Like, hey, we are going to bring what we have to the world. And it just brought a tear to my eye. That was great. So as far as content of the movie is concerned, awesome. There was about 40 minutes of action sequence that I was like, eh. Right? Like, eh. I wasn't thrilled. And it wasn't thrilling.
But here's – and this is where – should we take a break before we get into the parenting aspect?
Oh, is it grumpy old man time?
Well, it's not grumpy old man time. I'm just saying, you know, should we take a break? You know, we usually take a break around here.
Yes,
let's take a break.
And we're back. All right.
We are back. Okay, so here's where we get into questions about appropriateness for kids, parenting, that sort of thing. So before the break, you were talking about how the action is, it's fine.
It's right. Serviceable.
Well, and part of that may be that we've reached a point now with movies and TV shows and that sort of thing, where these types of characters I mean, sure, obviously they're going to sit down with a choreographer and say, all right, what could we do that's different? Right.
Right. And, but, then, not only that, but this is the movie that sits before Infinity War, which really has to dazzle, right?
Right.
They're going to put all their money and special effects into that thing.
Right. But at the end of the day, you know, if you got two people fighting, there's going to be, spoiler alert, there's going to be some pummeling of the head with your fists.
That's right.
There's going to be kicking in, you know, groin areas. There's going to be chopping legs out from underneath. There's going to be some rolling around, some, you know, changing places, trying to get behind them, trying to choke them, trying to stab them in various vulnerable places. Bottom line, there's only so many places you can go.
Sure.
Right. There's only so creative you can get. I mean, sure, if you think about something like The Matrix, that was a little bit different just because of the premise of the background of that. Or if you, you know, look at anything involving, you know, Star Wars and Jedi sword play and that sort of thing. But I guess from a parenting standpoint, you know, the fight scenes have all almost become, I don't know how to describe it. They're just kind of there. They're just kind of a blur.
Yep.
Like, you're kind of, as a parent, you got to decide whether you're either okay with violence or you're not. Right? I mean, and there are still degrees of that.
Well, we've talked about this before. It's also the measure of the child.
Yes.
Right? I've got a child that really shouldn't be watching Harry Potter because she's incredibly impressionable and would really bother and disturb her. She'd never go to bed. I've got another child that, doesn't care, right?
Right. And certainly there are movies. Marvel does tend to still be fairly bloodless, I'd say, for the most part. But there is death. There's obvious. It's not all veiled death.
Yeah, it's funny. About 2 weeks ago, my daughter watched Age of Ultron with me, and I knew the scene was coming in which Ultron cuts Claw's arm off. And I thought, well, let's see how this goes, right? As a parent, let's see how this goes. Right. It's a very violent moment. I think nothing of it now, but I thought, this is probably going to bug Kayleen. Wow, his arm is gone. Now, you're right about it. It's not very bloodless. It's not like his arm gets cut off or it's pulled off or anything. It's just a nice, clean chop where the guy's lost his arm, right?
He's lost his arm. It's been dismembered.
Right. But it's not this blood everywhere, right? Like, it's, you know.
Right. It's not Quentin Tarantino.
Correct. It's not Kill Bill.
Right, but that doesn't – and again, we have to always give the caution, and we've talked about this in other podcasts – we're not here to say, yes, send your kid, don't send your kid, this is good for kids, not for kids. We're going to say, look, this is what it is. There's combat. Every Marvel movie has some level of fighting. That's just a given.
Yep.
And in some cases, you know, it's going to be bodies thrown all over. And there's death. I think that's the other tipping point sometimes for parents is – they do kill characters.
Yes, they do.
And whether or not you really want to deal with that with your kids, whether you want to, you know, convey to them, hey, death is a big deal, or we're not going to overthink death if it's in a comic book setting or in a video game setting or something like that, that's up to you as a parent. Mm-hmm. And again, back to the age and the context and that sort of thing. Because the thing that Marvel does, and lots and lots of action movies have done this for many, many years, is that they present it in such a way that you're not necessarily going to care about the bulk of the death. When it's an army of people running at an army of people and a bunch of them get cut down, who are these people? We don't know their stories. We don't know their... you know, their family and friends and all that kind of good stuff. So there is that. There is also, and I think this is where you can get in some interesting discussions with kids, is back to the question of power and responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to get, you know, too political about that, but if you could do that, I think, with particularly kids in the United States, to say, okay, the United States has some military might. The United States has some economic resources. They have some educational resources. What role do we play on the planet? Right. And granted, I know it's not like you say, hey, let's go see Black Panther. And then you go home and then you say, let's talk about the role that our nation plays on the global stage. Right.
I think Black Panther,
but
though,
you could. Yeah. That's the thing.
Yeah. But the thing that's really awesome about this particular movie, and I did like it, is that it's a movie that's going to sit on my shelf. And if you watch it with any sort of, you know, brain on, like my mind is turned on and I'm just watching this for pleasure, you actually walk away with a message that I think is pretty strong and a great discussion point.
Right.
Right? Which is how we started off this entire podcast, which is a really good discussion. What do you do when you have the upper hand?
Right.
Do you keep it to yourself or do you share it?
And I do think that, and you mentioned the fact that Black Panthers, the action scenes are not necessarily, you know, over the top amazing and fun and that sort of thing. He is, I would say, to a certain extent, almost a reluctant superhero.
Yes, kind of. Like, I think, like, he wants to lead Wakanda. That's definitely something that he wants.
Right. And he does. He seems to grasp the responsibility of, this is a big deal.
Yep.
This is a big deal to run the place. But he also, I think, respects, he seems to respect the power that he has.
Yes.
He doesn't have, there's a difference between having confidence and being cocky. Like if you watch Iron Man, Tony Stark is an egomaniac in a lot of ways.
Yes.
He's a good guy and he has a heart and he does care about people and he does love his family and
but
Pepper
he's
Potts
made some chaotic choices, right? And they're
right.
always selfish, aka we end up with Ultron, right?
Right. And
I'm going to save the planet the way I see fit to do it, where I don't think T'Challa would do that at all.
Right. And he would be the type of person that if he had Superman's powers would say, hey, I'm just going to go fly for a while and just have some fun.
Yeah, you're right.
Even though I could, you know, my first thing is I could go pick up some, you know, barrels of food and bring it to some starving children. I could do that. But before I do that, I'm just going to go joy flying for a few days and show off.
Sure.
Whereas Black Panther is probably not going to do that. Okay. There are other pieces of it. I know one other piece that I was thinking about, and this didn't really bother me per se, but the thing that's hard with a comic book movie emulating life is that some things are oversimplified.
So you at the end of the movie, like growing giant rhinos to attack people?
Well, yeah, there's that. So my question is, so you've got Black Panther and his family, and they live in a palace, and they've got all these cool gadgets, and it's his sister who's like his, you know, Q, right?
Yep.
So she's always monkeying with the suit and sort of, you know, trying different stuff. And she's like, you know, he's sort of like, hey, what do I need to keep doing this? And she's like, hey, you know, we've got the knowledge. We've got the learning. Let's always be better. There's always a opportunity
yep.
for us to
do better.
Yeah. You sort of can adjust stuff. You tinker a little bit because that's what you do in life. And that's a great sub message in and of itself.
I know.
Okay, I've got this power, but I'm not just going to
sit on it. What's your discrepancy, Todd?
So my discrepancy is they're living in the palace, and then there's a couple scenes where they're sort of walking in like this market food court thing, and everybody's just sort of happy.
Yeah, that's right.
And then there seem to be these people that are very happily living in huts out on the plains, raising rhinos.
Right.
So the thing that we don't quite get is, okay, you've got this hidden society, and in the first scene they fly in, it's a beautiful city and that sort of thing. Is it really utopia? Are all the people living in the huts just happy to be living there? You know, is it sunny all the time and they just like being outdoors and
riding? I don't know. I don't know if that was a staged event, right? Like, you guys, this is your job for this week, is to go out and act like people in huts.
Yeah, I don't know.
Right, I don't know either, right? Better explored in a Black Panther 2, which I will be the first in line to watch.
Right. And again, it wasn't a huge deal, but sometimes we're sort of given this, oh, they've got this great society, and they just sort of worked it all out. It's sort of like, did you see Tomorrowland?
Yep, I know exactly what you're talking about. Right,
Tomorrowland.
Something stinky in Tomorrowland.
Well, not necessarily that there's something stinky, but they don't really tell us how they... Again, spoiler alert. At the end of the movie, in Tomorrowland, they live in this utopian society where everybody is self-actualized, everybody's creative, everybody is just having a wonderful time.
Yeah, like it, Disney's vision of the future.
Right. They don't tell us how they're going to get there.
Right.
And this, and the same challenge that at the end of the movie when, you know, the king comes to the podium at the United Nations and says, hey, guess what? We're going to share.
Boy, you just made that whole scene just...
It's cool.
Tiny.
It's cool.
You're like,
right,
oh,
I know.
We're
cool.
Going to share.
It is a cool scene. And you sort of say, yeah, that's what we want. We want people to go up to... We want nations to go up to podiums and say, hey, look, we've got some resources, and there's some folks in the world that don't have what we have, and we're going to try to help them out.
It's also an important statement because right now we have a president who doesn't want to share. He wants to share nothing.
All right. We're not going to go down that road.
But
anyway.
But it's a poignant moment. I'm not saying
it is.
Conservative,
it is.
Republican, whatever, doesn't. Donald Trump does not want to share. It's just a fact.
It's probably a fair statement, yes. So that is a good jumping off point. And that's where you can say, okay, in the end, it's a comic book movie. It's 2 hours of, you know, suspended disbelief.
Sure. Wish fulfillment.
But, you know, film can still inspire. And that's where you can take a moment like that and say, all right, what would you do? And that's back to translating to on a practical level. We have resources. What's the best way to help people? What is the best thing to do for people? What do you give them? What do you expect from them? What's the go-between of handing something to someone versus, you know, it's the giving them a fish or teaching them to fish.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going to share our technology with you, but what are you actually going to share? Are you going to give me a vibranium-powered fishing pole, or are you going to give me rhino armor, or are you going to give me what are you going to give me that's going to make my life better?
Well, so they show you in the movie, they open up a resource center for some of the downtrodden areas, because that's the premise of the enemies or the villains' whole goal was like, hey, these downtrodden planet parts of the earth are so bad,
right,
that if we could give them some weapons, they could rise up and make better.
Right.
But they decide at the end, no, why don't we give them, I don't even know what these education centers are going to do, but their outreach using the Wakandan resources,
right,
you know, not giving the vibranium fishing pole out, but basically saying, we're using our money to better these neighborhoods, right? Which is something
but
that
I wanted a vibranium fishing pole.
Oh, my gosh. All right. We got to wrap this up, man.
We do have to wrap this up. We are Parenting Mistakes. We have an email address, parentingmistakes@hotmail.com. Feel free to send us your thoughts, your ideas on what we should talk about in the future, your critiques, and any suggestions for the show. And if you think Dave has a melodious voice and you want to just tell him that, that's fine.
Loud is good.
Loud is good.